Hi, this is Alan White from Yes, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
You're very welcome to the last episode of the Yes Music Podcast for 2020. And I've called it Goodbye 2020. Perhaps we should say good riddance to 2020 in many ways, because it's been a really difficult year for everyone, possibly everyone in the world almost. But having said that, I think it's actually been one of the greatest years so far for the Yes Music Podcast. What do you think, Mark? We've done some pretty good things.
Oh, yeah, I definitely think this year has been a high point as far as some of the interviews we've done. People that we might not have thought we'd ever get on the show have been on.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so we've decided just to take the opportunity at the end of 2020 to talk about three highlights each. And this was, I know Mark's also found this difficult, a very difficult proposition indeed, to just choose three out of what was an incredible range of amazing topics and episodes. So here are some of the things, actually, Mark, that we haven't included, but we could easily have included. All the What Did They Do Next episodes that we've done and discovered some fantastic music that certainly I didn't know existed before we did those. We interviewed David Cross, who was the violinist on those seminal King Crimson albums in the early 70s, late 60s. John Kirkman came on to talk about his Tales from Photographic Oceans book, which is amazing. Dave Watkinson, although we do feature him later, but Dave Watkinson's, when he came on to talk about the EP of The Warriors, The Lost Demos, with John Anderson, of course. Sid Smith talking about Sleeve Notes and how he approaches that. Fernando Perdomo we interviewed. Lee Pomeroy, we talked to him about his part in The Red Planet, the fantastic Rick Wakeman album. And even Steve Howe doesn't make it into our R6. We interviewed him about Love Is. Perhaps most importantly, of course, we haven't mentioned in R6 the Jeff Bailey on Drama Turning 40 episode, which was, of course, quite a highlight. And Kevin Curry and Ted Stockwell came on to talk about White. So if you're listening to that list and you're now thinking to yourselves, well, what on earth could possibly be on these six? Because all those could easily have made it, couldn't they, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Any one of those were highlight features. I mean, Fernando was a great interview. He was so, you know, passionate about his love of Yes and stuff like that. And, you know, even the David Cross was a highlight for me, being a huge King Crimson fan as well. So there was plenty that we could have picked from.
Yeah, absolutely right. And you can probably hear, actually, from Mark that he's using Skype on his phone again this week after having a few technical issues, we could say, over in Canada there with lockdown and internet access and power going off and all sorts of things. But I think you're okay now-ish, aren't you, Mark?
Yeah, it's as stable as it's going to be, and I'm happy enough for that. So at least as long as we have an episode, then I'm going to be happy.
Excellent. All right, so let's get on to our six selections then. And looking at these, I was quite pleased, Mark, to see that I think these show two very important aspects of what we've done in the Yes Music Podcast this year. So they're a mix, I think, of contemporary interviews with band members and alumni and others, and also combined with uncovering some of the hidden history of Yes and allied bands. Okay, so let's kick off with Mark first. What's your first selection from 2020, Mark?
Well, my first selection is one that was very exciting for me because he's a member of Yes, or was a member of Yes, that I thought should have been in the band a lot longer. And he proved to be one of these members of the bands that I think now Yes might be scratching their heads and thinking maybe we might have made a mistake letting this guy go, because he really saved their butt, I think, was Oliver Wakeman. Because he was a fantastic keyboard player, amazing guy. I mean, he has the lineage to back up his playing. And, you know, here he comes, you know, halfway through the year and provides Yes with probably one of the best releases that they've had in a long, long, long time. So talking to Oliver was a big highlight for me.
Absolutely, yes. And that was episode 404, if you want to go back and have a listen to that, where he talked about From a Page, which, yes, I agree, was such an amazing treat and such a surprise. It kind of came out of the blue, that album, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I wasn't certainly expecting it. I didn't hear any rumblings about it or nothing. But one thing's for sure, when they released that first sort of song radio edit version of the song on YouTube there, and I heard it, I was like absolutely stunned. Like my jaw was literally on the floor. Like I had to pick it up. You know, it was unbelievable how fantastic this music was. And I was thinking to myself, this music was left off of an album like Fly From Here. Like, this is unbelievable that they did that. Like, what a mistake. But hey, we have it now. I have it on vinyl, which makes me even more happier. So what a great release.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fantastic and a great album. And I do enjoy listening to it. And we did hear from Oliver himself probably over a year ago now that he had these songs and he hoped that they would see the light of day, and they certainly did, and became an official release from Yes, which I think is an extremely positive thing for the band to have done. Now, I'll go next with my first pick then, Mark, and my first pick is the Alan White interview, where he came to talk to us about Yes Live in 2020. Now, unfortunately, none of that actually happened with the Relay tour. And we did get the live album, but no Relay tour. But we were absolutely delighted, of course, to speak to Alan White, because he was one of the key members of the band, the longest standing member of the band actually now. And we hadn't spoken to him before that. So he was delightful. And of course, as you might imagine from Yes people that come and talk to us, he was friendly and open and, you know, seemed to really enjoy speaking to us.
He comes across to me as like a very gentle spirit, Alan White. I really like him. I had the opportunity to talk to him very briefly, like when I went to NAMM a few times. He was at the Ludwig drum booth. So he's a really nice gentleman. He definitely knows his stuff about music. He's a big boat aficionado, as we all know as well. So if you talk to him about boating and stuff like that, he's more than happy to sit with you for a little while. But he's a great guy, fantastic drummer. He right now, I kind of look at Alan as sort of like, you know, the high chairman, the COO of Yes, where he's kind of like touring with them now more in the capacity of doing like interviews and he flying the flag and kind of, you know, prepping Jay Schellen for his inevitable, you know, position as the drummer for Yes for years to come. But I think that the interview was just fantastic. I definitely enjoyed it.
Absolutely. So that's episode 417. And I suppose really on our wish list for next year, we'll talk about next year a bit later on, but really I think Rick Wakeman and Tony Kaye are two of the characters that we haven't spoken to yet on the show that we really, really should, in order to make sure that we've covered all the important characters within the band. But what's your second pick, Mark?
Well, my second pick is another person I was really looking forward to talking to. And one of the things that I really love about this podcast is that it gives us the opportunity to talk to people who are not in Yes, but are very maybe important to us influentially as far as musicianship and stuff like that. And for me, Roine Stolt was somebody who I really looked up to as a guitar player, songwriter. I love the stuff he's done with the Flower Kings, and also in Transatlantic is one of my favorite bands right now. And, you know, to talk to him about Yes and, you know, the things that, you know, he loves about the band and so on and so forth. And the people that he's worked with, you know, in other bands, like he worked with Tom Brislin as well. So, you know, that interview was fantastic. And he was another one that was really easy to talk to. And it seems like, you know, when you're done talking to him, it's almost like you feel like you were friends with him for years already.
Yes, he was, again, another delightful character to have on the show and talk to about. We talked to him about Yes, about John Anderson, about the Flower Kings' new album, which I do think is wonderful, and more, as we said in the title of the episode, which was number 451. And I think he's got a very strong claim to be channeling some of the spirit of Yes now, I think, through the Flower Kings, particularly that latest album, and a real ally. And hopefully next year, again, I'm going on about something we'll talk about in a minute, but next year he did say to us that the Anderson Stolt second album should be coming out, and rather easier process it's been, I think, to the first album in terms of putting it together. So that's definitely something to look forward to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as much as the first album was very good, but there were, you know, obviously points that people disliked or thought could have been better. I think also that I get the feeling that he kind of saw that as well. Yeah, looking back at it in retrospect. So I'm looking forward to the second record. I have a feeling that those little things that they might not have, you know, liked or thought that could have been improved on will be. Mm. And I think we're going to get a stronger record out of it.
Yep. Certainly looking forward to that. And that was episode 451, if you want to go back and listen to that interview again. So my second choice is an episode which was called Who Were Cinema? Dave Watkinson and John Dee Tell the Story. And that was an amazing episode, really, because that dug right into the history of the band that an awful lot of us didn't know anything about previously. So John and Dave came in and talked in detail about the time that they attended a rehearsal of Cinema, who were to morph into the Yes of 90125. And we just learned such an amazing amount about this unique event, and it gave us so many insights into this little known time of the band.
Absolutely. And I mean, this is one of those interviews that interviewers kind of enjoy and look forward to, where you just ask a question and you just sit back and enjoy the answer, because it's usually lengthy and very detailed. Mm. And, you know, listening to all these things that they talked about that nobody probably had a clue about apart from them, because of the privacy that had to be taken for this. I think it was just a fantastic interview. I mean, it's always fun having Dave on and talking about these things. So I was very much glued to my seat and listening to this, even though I was part of the interview, you know, like it's one of those rare occasions where you're like, wow, you know, I'm interviewing and talking to these guys, but like, I feel like a listener, and I had no problem with that.
Absolutely right. And Dave is actually, I think, the person who we've interviewed the most on the Yes Music podcast over the years, which is brilliant, and brilliant to speak to John Dee as well. So that was another of our interviews which spanned the globe from Canada, and I think John was in Australasia somewhere. I'm doubting myself now, but anyway, certainly across the globe in terms of Canada and the UK and wherever John was. So that was absolutely brilliant. What about you then on your third pick?
Well, my third pick, ironically, involves Dave again, and that is the very fantastic interview that we had with him talking about being in the studio during the time of the Tornado sessions.
Yeah.
Now, not only did we get the pleasure of hearing the story about the actual day itself and how it went with him talking to certain members and getting to sit behind the control console, you know, but we got treated to a bunch of fantastic photographs that I, you know, have saved on my computer as well, just to have for, you know, years to come to just enjoy and look at, because I'm a big studio geek guy who loves, you know, all kinds of equipment and likes looking at these things and even buying some of this equipment for my own studio. So having these photographs were like, just like gold to me. So to me, this is definitely one of the high points of this year, was listening to that. I mean, how many podcast do you listen to where you have an actual person in there talking about a historic moment like this? Sure, people talk about recording albums and stuff like that, but we're talking about a record done by Yes in the 70s. Like, think about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it was Tomato, so it gets my votes anyway. anything you want to talk about Tomato, I'm happy to be there. But yes, it was brilliant. And I enjoyed titling that episode "The Time Dave Watkinson and His Brother Joined Yes," because that was a brilliant story about Dave sitting down at Alan White's drums and having a go, and his brother playing the keyboard a little bit, perhaps. That was episode 432, and I think I missed the previous one out. It was 418, was the Who Were Cinema episode, and I'll put the links to these episodes in the show notes for this week, so you can go and find those very easily if you visit esmusicpodcast.com. Okay, so we're on to my third and final one. And this one was, you know, it was my lifetime as a Yes fan was topped off in some ways by this interview that we did with Casey Young. So I titled it, Who's That Under the Stage? It's Casey Young, and he's happy to talk about it. And it was episode 444. Casey, again, such an open, such an engaging, kind person to come and talk to us all about that. And again, told us a few stories that practically no one in the world has heard previously. You know, the fact that he was happy to talk about exactly how his kit was set up, where it was set up, why it was there, why he was there on the 90125 tour, he cleared up quite a few misconceptions about what his role was, and also told us that he could actually have continued. He was asked to continue on to the Big Generator tour, but that didn't happen for various reasons. So, you know, as I said at the beginning here, interviews with people, and as you've just said, who were there at the time, but even people who were so integral and so important to aspects of the band's history.
Yeah, I mean, this was another one that when you told me that we were going to talk to him, that I was absolutely excited about, because again, he was one of these people that people talk about but know very little about. And to be the first ones to actually get him on and talk about stuff like this in great detail was such a great pleasure. And I mean, the one thing that really was interesting on my end of it was that I always kind of suspected that he was kind of one of these, you know, session guys who just did things here and there. Yeah. But to find out that he has such a knowledge about keyboards and has developed so many things and is in such high position in the music industry, I have a brand new respect for this gentleman. And I think that, you know, it was one of our highlight, and I would definitely say one of our blue chip interviews. If you want to listen to, if you want to pick out a really good interview to listen to from this year, I would highly, highly recommend this one.
Absolutely. Casey Young, brilliant stuff. And as I said, episode 444. So those are our six picks. And you know, the variety and the range in that is fantastic enough. And the combine that with the list that I gave at the beginning, and we really did some amazing things. And I'm wondering how we can possibly top that next year. But if we just go on briefly to talk about 2021 now and leave 2020 behind, thank goodness, it's, of course, the 10th anniversary of the Yes Music podcast, and we will also reach 500 episodes. So quite a milestone for us, Mark.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know very many podcasts on the internet that reach like 300 episodes, let alone 500. So it's definitely a high point for us and something that, you know, we need to make sure that we, you know, give it the proper, you know, celebration that it deserves.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of that is going to be on the 17th of August, 2021. You may have heard me mentioning this before. We're going to record the 500th episode live from from the top of Yes Tour, as featured on the best Yes album, of course, Tormato on the inner sleeve. So put that in your diaries, please. Once again, 17th of August, fingers crossed all this awful pandemic stuff is abated a little bit by then, and you will be able to join me if you possibly can on top of Yes Tour. Lots more about that in the coming months, of course, and that gives us, what, 8 months now for that situation to get a lot better. But thinking about other things that we might go on to in 2021, I'm looking forward to more of the What Did They Do Next? We might even be able to get to up to date on What Did They Do Next, that series, more interviews, more history, and hopefully, fingers crossed, more live Yes to talk about, the actual Relayer tour happening, the live album happening from that Relayer tour. And, you know, what do you think, Mark, are the chances of seeing anything live from Yes or from any band in 2021?
Well, I mean, I've been watching the news here and there. I mean, I tend not to watch it too much because it's nothing but, you know, stuff that can bring you down emotionally and mentally. But I think that the chances are getting better. I mean, there's been so many companies now that have been approved for their vaccines. I've just heard today that in England, there's another one that just got approved for you guys as well. Yes. So that's good news for you guys. So here in Canada, we already have two approved as well. And we're the only thing that's happening here that's interesting is that the government is getting very much pressured to hurry up with the vaccines, because apparently they're taking their time and dispensing them for some reason. Yeah. But I'm hoping that it gets cleared up and that we can get back to some sort of normality, whether it'll be how it was back, you know, before this all started, who knows, but maybe there'll be a new way of doing things that might be better. Who knows? But the one other thing that I wanted to mention as well that I'm hoping that we can do more of in 2021 is one of the segments that we did that was very popular was that sort of album battle, you know, like Big Generator versus this album. And it went over very well. And I think that it might be one of these segments that we can continue doing. And I think the listeners really enjoy it.
Definitely, definitely. Okay, well, let's look forward to that. And here are some other things I'm looking forward to perhaps happening. The new Yes studio album, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. More material from Arc of Life, because I really was tantalized by some of the things that Dave Kirzner has said We've heard just clips from the album Arc of Life so far, and that's really good single, which I play often and really enjoy. But Dave Kirzner saying that he was going to be more involved, hopefully, in writing some more Arc of Life material. So, of course, we haven't even had the album yet, so we'll look forward to that anyway. But I think that's a really tantalising and really exciting prospect for the future. The Anderson Stolt album number 2, as we've said earlier, and also Thousand Hands Part 2 as well. Maybe we'll see that in 2021. Any other highlights you would like to look forward to, Mark?
Well, I mean, for me, the big thing is I'm desperately waiting for the new Yes studio album. I mean, yeah. I have a good feeling about it. I mean, now that we have Billy involved with it, and we have, you know, the people that should be in there involved with a record, I think that we'll have a stronger record than yeah. Heaven and Earth. Ironically, I did put up an advertisement photo of it on the Yes page the other day talking about it. Yeah, so, but I am kind of excited about a new Yes album. That's definitely for sure. I'm always curious to see what happens with Rick. He always seems to release something or reissue something, so that's always something that's on my radar. Steve Howe, let's see what happens with him. I mean, he's always prolific with his writing. Maybe another mm-hmm. solo album will come, who knows?
Yeah.
Right? So there's all kinds of things. I mean, I am also looking forward to Arc of Life. I mean, once the album comes out, to see what happens from there, how the response is. Will they yeah. move on to another record right away? Who knows? So there's a lot to look forward to. I mean, the pandemic has been definitely something that's affected all our lives in a negative way, but it's also affected it in a positive way, where a lot of bands and musicians have done more music and stuff than they have in the last 5 years because of it.
Mm, yeah, yeah, that's true. So you never know what might have been worked on in terms of Yes and related artists. All right. Well, thank you very much indeed, Mark, for everything that you've contributed to the show over 2020. And thank you to everyone who's been interviewed on the show or has left a comment or contacted us in any way. And really looking forward to 2021 and our 10th anniversary, Mark.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as well. And I also want to take a chance here to thank all the listeners. I mean, through the pandemic here, it's been difficult for a lot of people, but I think that our listenership is strong. We're a big family on the internet, and I think that one of the things that's helped me, at least for sure, is the strong family feeling that you have when you go on the page or when you hear the responses and comments. So I want to really, really thank everybody who listens to the podcast.
Wonderful. And do leave your comments on the show notes for this week, please. What have you enjoyed in 2020 from the show, and what are you looking forward to from our 10th anniversary next year? And as we record this, there's just a few hours to go in the UK before 2021 begins. So it's all very exciting. But for the moment, thank you very much indeed, Mark.
You're very welcome, Kevin, and Happy New Year.